Dickory Dock means something different to you than it does to
Wait,
me.
Wait, what was your word that you kept when we were doing the compass code and strategy, and you kept, there was a word that you kept saying.
Strategy?
No. It seemed inappropriate, but it actually, coxswain.
Coxswain.
That's how a door moves, right?
No.
No, it's got to do with a boat, right?
Yeah, you don't know what a coxswain is?
Look up coxswain.
Steersman of a racing shell, a person in charge of a ship's boat, and who Yusu.
Well, you have to click on the link if you want to see the whole thing.
Okay.
But that's not the point. The point is it's someone who steers a boat.
And so, who Yusu steers it.
Oh, that's not, oh, it's the, they're abbreviating usually.
That's oh, nice. That's helpful.
That's very helpful.
It's a very long word, you gotta abbreviate it.
Yusu.
Yusu. Welcome to The Critical Path with Mary and Jason, a podcast about business development, company culture, and loving the place you work just a little bit more. This is episode 13. We have been on hiatus for a long time because we've been bad, bad podcasters, but we're back. So today we have Dakota with us.
Hi, I'm Dakota.
That's Dakota.
that's all he's for.
That's it.
I actually walk into rooms and I just say, hi, I'm Dakota, and then I leave. That's all I do.
It's true. So we've been on hiatus since October, though. Things have been busy, but I'm not going to pretend like that's the main reason why we haven't podcasted, because...
You're God here.
It's true. But still, we have to explain why we haven't podcasted since October. So we were at a training session this week, and one of our favorite people...
Jarrett Sabri
from Mare Drywall knew one of our jetpacks. He knew hashtag Mario Kart, which was not one of our best jetpacks, but he knew it and he said it, and now we owe him a t-shirt. So we are gonna actually get on making those t-shirts.
Okay.
If this was a YouTube video, we would just snap and they would be there, right?
Get on
it's
it,
true.
Dakota.
Okay.
Where are the t-shirts?
Well, we haven't even told Dakota to do it yet.
Well, now it's on the record.
Now we're on the record telling Dakota to do it.
Yeah.
So if you, Jarrett, or anyone else, come in and tell us a hashtag or a jetpack and there are no t-shirts, then tell Dakota, get on it, Dakota.
Stare him in the eyes and say, get on it, Dakota.
And Dakota will be like, they still haven't told me what exactly they want me to do.
Did you want it to be extra small?
It's relevant for the topic today.
So... today, we are talking about what, Jason?
Respect.
Yeah.
Authority.
Yep.
And deference.
Yep. Aren't those the same thing?
Well, to you, maybe.
We actually had this conversation the first time and started talking about this concept after a field trip with our son's class.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a rough field trip.
Was he 12 then?
He's 12. And all of the kids were generally not... listening to anything that we said.
Not minding.
They were generally being kind of a bunch of assholes. And we started talking about the fact that they were not really set up by the system that they're in to treat adult chaperones with respect.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Air Museum field trip.
Oof.
Yeah, see? It was a rough one. And that was the point when we had the conversation about what do we really mean when we talk about respect. And I think we had some clients at work who were at that same time talking about these millennials don't treat anyone with respect, don't know what mm-hmm. respect is. And we had a whole conversation about what respect really is.
Mm-hmm.
And so
oftentimes we'll say respect, you don't respect me. And if I'm a person from a previous generation, how do you interpret that?
Previous generation would be...
you don't respect me.
Take everything I say as a fact.
And?
And don't question it because it's a fact.
And?
Because I said so.
And?
What else? You have to
do what I say.
Oh.
Right? You don't respect me because you're not doing what I say.
Yeah, that is fair.
Right?
That's how I treat dogs.
All dogs don't respect me.
Dogs don't respect anybody.
Yeah.
Go lay down.
When our daughter says, you don't respect me, that's her reaction to us not doing what she wants us to do. Right?
Which is usually giving her money for buying me at the school.
Sure. Right. So oftentimes we'll equate the word with respect, the word respect, with whether or not you're doing what I want you to do.
Well, and we really kind of hit on all of the pieces there, right? Because that's what we do is especially I think older generations, we use the word respect. Mm-hmm. And what we mean is treat me with decency. Mm-hmm. What we mean is take what I say as fact. Mm-hmm. And we mean do what I tell you to do. Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole discussion too about respect and how does someone get respect? Do you have to earn someone's respect?
You have to earn my respect.
Or is it a given? Mm-hmm. And so what we did is we said, really, there are three kind of main things going on here, and they're really different concepts. And we tend to just jam those all together and put them into this container that is the word respect.
So the more things we jam together, the harder it is to understand. Right. If we had a red Kool-Aid, a green Kool-Aid, and a blue Kool-Aid and mixed them all together.
We never did that when we were kids.
Nope. We'd have no idea what kind of Kool-Aids we had in there. Right.
We'd have brown Kool-Aid.
We would have brown Kool-Aid. I've not done that before. It was a good idea.
We have had a lot of brown Kool-Aid.
Anyway.
So we're talking about respect. So.
And the fact that when we confound those words or their meaning, then it gets more difficult to understand where problems are or where challenges are or where misunderstandings are.
Absolutely. The best way to understand any kind of concepts that are going on, what's going on around us, is to boil everything down to a single piece. And no matter how many pieces we have, when we have a series of single pieces as opposed to one big chaotic mess, it makes it easier to understand what's going on. So we chose the word respect to refer to the first concept, which is common human decency.
That's a word from your childhood?
It is. Yes. I had younger sisters, and that was constantly the accusation was, have some common human decency, why don't you?
So what does common human decency mean to you, Dakota?
When I go to the grocery store, I don't yell at the clerk that my favorite brand of yogurt's gone.
What if the yogurt's really good, though?
Oh, it is.
I've had some
really
good yogurt.
It's a phenomenal yogurt.
Okay. So even if your favorite yogurt is out, that doesn't entitle you to treat people like a subhuman.
Yeah.
So it's just treating people with the general respect that we owe each other walking around all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I tend to extend that even further, where I tend to open doors for people. Mm-hmm. And I tend to say hello. And I tend to say, how's your day? And
smiling at people, making eye contact. Mm-hmm.
Just general.
Not prolonged weird eye contact, Dakota.
Not creepy. but just being friendly and recognizing that they're all people in our society and we should treat each other kindly.
Absolutely.
And many times in the workplace, if we have people who are working with or working under us, if they can't abide by that simple rule, and this is really like a kindergarten level rule, if they can't abide by that simple rule, then that is kind of a deal breaker for me. And I don't take that lightly, but if you can't treat people with respect, even if they stole your yogurt, right? Or they didn't stock enough of it, then that's a deal breaker in an organization.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so then we have the conversation of, do you have to earn someone's respect? And with this definition of respect, when we're talking about common human decency, that is not earned. Mm-hmm. That is part of the human contract. And we owe that to everyone around us all the time. And then when pressed further, people say, well, but what if somebody loses that respect? The truth is, it is possible to lose that, to lose the position of being owed common human decency. You can.
Like, but genocide.
Exactly. That's exactly where I'm going. Like genocide.
Yeah, just
like,
stay away from genocide and you'll be mostly okay.
Honestly, like even trying to think of like what are ways you could lose that, I feel like most of them are things I hesitate to even want to say on the podcast. So ultimately, if they were a jerk to you last Tuesday and they parked in your spot, that's not what we're talking about. So ultimately, the point there is when people say, well, but when so-and-so ate my lunch out of the fridge at work, then they lost their right to common human decency. Like,
that was a jerk move.
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure that's, like, right on point. The atrocities of the world ate my salami sandwich.
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
It could have been a really good sandwich, too. And it could have been the fifth time they did it.
So all of those things that that people get so bound up about at work that cause these conflicts, those aren't the things we're talking about. You still owe those people common human decency. You don't have to like them. You don't have to be friends with them.
Do you have to do what they say?
You do not have to do what they tell you to do. So the next concept then, moving up the ladder, is authority. So authority means a person can direct your actions. It means if they tell you to sweep the floor, you will go and you will sweep the floor.
And they can direct in what order you do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say sweep the kitchen, then sweep the dining room, then sweep the front room, right? Mm-hmm. We could direct and pick in what order those go in, and to the degree that those things get executed and the tools that you use, right? That's authority. And in a workplace situation, that's kind of a deal breaker too.
So authority is a social construct, and it exists within a set of guidelines. So every single person who has authority over you, there are limits to that authority.
Mm.
So if Dakota, you work for me, and if I tell you go wipe down the whiteboards, you likely will go wipe down the whiteboards. If I tell you go climb up to the fifth floor and jump out the window, you probably won't.
I mean,
I don't know, you might.
Let's
you might.
Jury's out.
You're Dakota, you might. But ultimately, the idea is that there are limits. There are kind of a predefined set of limits. Also, usually at the workplace, authority doesn't necessarily extend to when you leave the workplace. But if you're a doctor, that authority probably does. Or if you're in the military, you don't really have time that you get to. So what the boundaries of that authority is are defined by our employment. And I think we can often have conflict that comes out of not having those limits and those authorities be as clearly defined as they should.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we see a lot of confusion around who's in charge of who. So we'll talk about the fact that authority can be transferred
mm-hmm.
between from leader or from the person who's formally in charge
mm-hmm.
to either temporary or permanent delegation of that authority.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, though, what we see most often in the workplace is that the transference of that authority is not clear. It's
mm-hmm.
not well done. It's poorly communicated.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's important, A, that we understand that any person who has authority over you also has the right to extend that authority exactly with its same set of limits to some anyone else that they choose, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm your boss and I tell you for the next 2 hours I want you to do what Gowan tells you, as long as what Gowan tells you to do lives within, Gowan is our 13-year-old son, as long as what Gowan says to do lives within the boundaries of what our agreement is, what my authority is, you should do that.
That's a little bit closer to the deal breaker than the fifth story.
It's true.
but by rules of authority, that's the construct.
And again, Gowan would probably very quickly step outside of those limits of where my authority extends.
Mm-hmm. But many times we'll take that authority, and let's say when the leader, the organization, or the team lead is out on vacation or illness or what have you, many times that transference to the people who are in charge doesn't happen cleanly, such that when they leave, oftentimes the person who is left in charge doesn't even know that they have the authority.
Right.
And then the people surrounding that person don't know whether or not they should be in charge
mm-hmm.
or not.
Absolutely. Well, and so just like it's really important that the lines are really clear, where are the lines that surround my authority?
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, when we transfer authority, we need to draw that out really cleanly
mm-hmm.
and say, this is how long. And even we could set further limitations. So I could say, Gowan does not have the full scope of my authority, but he can direct you to do any Fortnite dance he wants. I don't know that that's within my authority. So I don't know, we might be deal breaking here.
I've tried to do the floss. I assure you, I cannot do the floss.
The point is, the person with authority, it is their responsibility to clearly communicate that they're transferring that authority, and also to clearly draw any lines that should be drawn to further restrict that authority, unless they really want that person to have their whole authority.
So I had a conversation earlier this morning about this very topic, And we were talking about a transition of power where the existing president of the company was leaving, was retiring, and there was a new president of the company who was being promoted into that position, but the outgoing president wanted to stick around for a little bit. So she still stayed in her office for that transitional period, and there was a lot of confusion about who the staff should go to.
Where the authority rested.
When they have problems and who they should be talking to. So even in situations like that where it's well-intended, it can create a huge amount of chaos when we don't understand what the chain of authority looks like. Mm-hmm. And that is typically the single biggest reason for why we have organizational charts, so that we have a clear picture of who reports to who.
I'm a big fan of organizational charts. I often will be in a scenario in previous jobs where someone is a good worker and they know what needs to be done, but they'll feel the need to tell other people the exact order which it needs to be done when that's not the strict fact of the case.
They don't have the authority to do
that. Mm-hmm. In a lot of my jobs, that was actually me. And in retrospect, kind of a jerk move.
That it can cause problems. But oftentimes we'll see where there's a leadership vacuum where someone needs to be leading, and when no one leads, then we try to step in and fill that vacuum because we see that that's what other people need.
Well, and I think another interesting part here is we've been looking at the original model of DISC, which we could have a whole session or a whole podcast.
Different topic.
About DISC. But the original model of DISC talks about the two factors of dominance and inducement. And so dominance is when you tell someone to do it because I told you to. And inducement is when you convince them to want to do it for their own reasons. And so I think even if you are that person, if I'm a person and I don't have any authority and I see things and I want them to change, it's good to just have that understanding of, okay, I don't have any authority, so then I need to induce the people around me to do these things. I need to persuade people to do things this way as opposed to just coming in and acting as though I have an authority that I don't have. So it also, understanding where and how much authority you have helps you to understand how to approach getting things done, because we don't have to have authority in order to influence other people, but we do have to have authority in order to tell people, do it because I said so.
So in working situations, if people don't abide by the authority requirement, then that too is a deal breaker. If they don't recognize that their boss can take charge of those actions and direct them on how to proceed, that's a deal breaker.
It's totally fine for a person with authority to use persuasion and to try to catch more flies with honey than with vinegar or whatever. But ultimately, they don't have to. All they have to do is say the thing, and the thing needs to be done. So the discussion of whether or not authority is earned, so there's this conversation too that says, well, he's my boss, and he has the authority, but he doesn't deserve the authority. He isn't good at doing what he does, and so...
I'm not going to do what he says.
I'm not going to do what he says, because he hasn't earned that authority. So the thing about authority is it basically lives like a contractual thing. So authority is a part of the deal. Authority always comes from an agreement. And as long as you continue to participate in that agreement and benefit from that agreement, as long as you're going to take the paychecks and as long as you're going to show up to work, you have to respect the authority. And again, see, so your respect and authority come together.
And fulfill your end of the agreement.
You have to fulfill your end of the deal by treating that authority as a force that is actually worth something.
So we've kind of discussed the idea of, I'm not going to do what you say because you haven't earned my respect. We kind of talked about, I'm not going to do what you say because you haven't earned your place of authority, right? And both of those are kind of problematic. But then that leads into the third tier of the discussion.
Which I had many ways to put that, but I actually like what Dakota kind of stumbled into in the beginning of this podcast when he said, you take what I say as fact. Take what I say as fact. That is how you respect someone. When we talk about that force, what we're talking about is what we're referring to as deference. So deference, the most, the clearest, kind of most mainstream recognizable picture of this would be like your Zen Kung Fu master, right? The idea of deference is someone who you, and again, I'm going to use the word respect here because this is how all bound up it is.
I'll say honor or have faith in.
Honor, have faith in so deeply that if they tell you you're wrong in a belief that you hold, it doesn't mean you will always instantaneously and immediately change that belief, because that's like getting into cult territory. But it means if they tell you, no, you're all wrong about that and I want you to reconsider, you will treat that in a way that's different from the way that you would treat that if anybody else in the world said it.
It doesn't mean that you'll take what they have to say as gospel and run with it and not question it, but you'll pause.
Well, and you'll pause in a way that you would not pause if just anyone spoke those words to you. Hopefully, most of us live in a place where if someone has a good reason for us to change our beliefs, anyone has a really good piece of fact or logic, hopefully all of us live in a place where we would listen to that fact or that logic. Deference is different. Deference means I honor this person deeply enough that I will stop and question things that I would not necessarily otherwise stop and question.
Would you say that deference is a dependent variable of respect, or do you think empathy factors into that equation?
I think deference is more tied to faith in the person, faith that I guess trust and faith, that you believe that they're on the right track most of the time. And by that association of trust and faith, then they're not likely to lead you astray. So even if they bring up something that seems out of line or discordant with your beliefs, because of their track record, you think that they might be onto something and it's worth listening to.
Well, and so talking about beliefs, that's definitely tricky material. To step back into a little bit simpler, again, with this concept of you take what I say as fact. So simpler would be if you know a thing and you believe it to be a fact, but we're not talking about a thing you have visual evidence in front of you that's otherwise. I tell you that a grammar rule is something and you do not believe that to necessarily be the case, but somewhere in your head you go, I don't know, Mary really knows grammar really well. And so without having to necessarily go and prove that that was true, you are more inclined to believe it's true than not because I said it. That is also a kind of deference. And again, that should happen a lot with our teachers. With our teachers, when they tell us a thing, again, it doesn't mean just take everything on faith, but when they say, no, this is the truth, this is how grammar works, we should take that and believe that to be true. Because we believe that teacher to be an expert in that subject. Again, that's not always the case, especially at public school, but that's another element of deference, is where when someone tells you a factual thing, even if it conflicts with what you previously thought to be the facts, that you will take that on a certain level of faith.
I think that deference should be the goal of every person in leadership, to gain everyone's deference. And so that is, it's a gift. It's something that has to be won.
It's earned. It's won. Yeah, absolutely. You don't ever, ever, ever have that by contract. You don't ever have that as part of the agreement.
And I think that many times we'll see situations, especially in the workplace, where the boss, the superior, wants the deference of their team, but they're not willing to work for it. They think that they're owed that. They think that that's a mandate, that's a requirement.
Well, they look at it as kind of wrapped into the deal of the authority.
And respect.
So if I say to you, Dakota, will you please wash the whiteboards, and you tell me, get bent, I'm not going to wash any whiteboards, then I could theoretically be like, okay, now you don't work here anymore. And I would not be in the wrong for doing that. But if I say, Dakota, I want you to believe that people aren't trying to be good. No one's trying to be good. And you're like, sorry, Mary, that's not what I believe.
And now your job is you have to go around and tell our clients that as part of your job.
Right. So it's not right for me to fire someone for not giving me deference. But it is right for me to fire someone for not giving me the authority that's part of the deal.
That's sort of the conversation of boss versus leader, right? Where a boss will tell you and a leader will ask you or have a conversation with you to try to help you along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And so think about if you had deference for all of your teachers in school, what would that experience look like?
They would have been way happier with me.
They would have been way happier with you, but what would your school career have looked like?
How would you have gotten something different out of that
if
experience?
They truly won your deference? All of them.
I guess I'd probably have a real degree at this point.
Fair.
Right?
Fair.
That you wouldn't push away from formal education, right? That you would honor and you would have faith in what it was that they were saying.
Another, I think, important piece of deference, though, is you talk about faith,
mm-hmm.
right? So to use a television show example, I was just watching Outlander, which is Scottish clans. It's super fun. And in it, basically, there's a whole time travel element in the show. A woman from the future travels
Nerds.
Back in time to Scottish Highlands. Ultimately, there's a character that they're trying to convince to basically do a bunch of crazy shit based on the time travel elements of the show that he doesn't and can't know anything about. And he's like, I don't know, that seems pretty crazy. And then basically the leader of his clan says, I promise you that we're doing this for the right reasons, and you'll know what you need to know when it's right for you to know it.
You'll have to trust me.
And the guy who was just throwing a big fit about doing the thing goes, that's all I needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
And he does the thing. So that's,
and
I think,
that's
another
deference.
Part of deference is if a person you have deference for says, I can't tell you the reasons for the thing I'm asking you to do, but I'm asking you to trust me. If you feel like that is a situation in which you would follow that person and you would do things, again, not necessarily like push a kid down the stairs or anything, but you would do things that...
No, you're right. Push a kid down the stairs.
If I'm like, go push that kid down the stairs, trust me, it's for a good reason.
So if someone who you hold a lot of trust and respect for, if someone who you hold a lot of trust and respect for comes to you and says, I need you to do a thing and you don't understand why and I can't tell you, all you have to ask is this a time travel thing?
I actually start most of my conversations with that. Dakota, can you print out all the paper we need for technical writing? Is this a time travel thing?
The answer here is always going to be yes.
It's always yes. So that is the jetpack. It's a time travel thing.
It's a time travel thing.
Wait, but what if they listen to this in the future?
It will still be
it's
a time
always
travel.
See, that's the interesting thing. It is always a time travel thing.
Always be time travel.
Because they will be hearing this and it will be current at a time when we have not podcasted in 6 months and can't even remember that we made this episode.
You just teleport it in time.
They'll show up and be like, it's a time travel thing, and we'll be like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Wormhold. That's gonna be on our t-shirt.
Hashtag wormhold. who would wear that?
Us.
I would.
Us. We would. That's fair.
Jarrett, would you wear a wormhold shirt?
Feel free to send us your answer.
At us, bro.
At us.
Okay.
So today's jetpack was...
It's a time travel thing.
It's a time travel thing. So if you email us, call us, come and see us, and tell us it's a time travel thing, then you will join the fine club... of which Jarrett is currently the only member.
Yes.
Of being owed a t-shirt that may or may not say hashtag wormhold on it. Do with that what you will. You can find us on the web at
www.friendster.com.
That's, we're not on
/arcade.
No, I told
no,
you.
Go to my MySpace page and listen to my dope lineup.
We closed the MySpace, we closed the Friendster. It's www.thecriticalpathwithmaryandjason.com. We are on Twitter at Arcade Wayfinder, and you can find us on LinkedIn. We have a company page that we don't do a whole lot with, and Jason and Mary and Dakota. And what, oh, and you can find us on most of the, we're on the iTunes directory and most of the places that you find your favorite podcasts. You can find us there. I just saw today, you can now find podcasts on Pandora.
Mm.
I don't know if you can get to us through that yet, because I haven't searched for us.
I thought you were God here.
I just said I found it, and I'm going to search for it, and I'm going to put us on there if we're not already on there. Because a lot of the secondary podcast directories will just pull from iTunes. So if Pandora is doing that, then you'll already find us there.
Done.
Is this the difference between omniscience and omnipotent? Are you all-powerful but not all-knowing?
I'm pretty all-knowing. I mean, I think Pandora just started putting podcasts on there, and I already know. So, I mean...
That's like God.
You didn't know?
Yeah, I did.
You didn't know?
You're very God-adjacent.
Pandora's very naggy.
So they let you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you knew?
Yeah.
What about Spotify?
Yeah, I'm on there.
You are not on Spotify. The point is...
Are we done?
You can find us most anywhere and...
Or West Seattle.
Yeah, or come and see us at our office. Full espresso bar, and we will make espresso for anyone. Literally anyone. We have had people wander in...
Perfect strangers.
...and tell us all kinds of really entertaining and awesome stories.
We'll talk about that next time.
That's actually a requirement, is you have to tell us a story.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for outtakes. We probably have some good ones this week, this episode.
Try again.
Try again what? Is that the sound of an outtake happening?
Yep, try again.
I thought it was... you can follow me at SoundCloud at Dak Flota the Rapper.
Now they're going to be looking for that, and they're going to be so disappointed. Now you're going to have to create it just so that they can find it.
There's a new platform called Hot Polyps. My name is Yoda Flow.
It's not a Hot Polyps platform. That's not a thing.
Watch for it.
It's not a thing.
I'm going to be doing that a lot.
I could set us up on Mastodon and then all the cool techie people could find us.
Yeah.
I probably won't.
GitHub, I put all my new Lego schematics on there.
Yeah, but Microsoft owns it.
Oh, I actually have a GitHub that is actually linked to from our website that's got some cool codes on
gotta
it.
Gotta get.
It's got some sweet codes going on.